So today my sermon is about creation care and why Christians should care. I'm going to bring, it's going to be more from a, how do we move from a circular worldview of environmentalism to a biblical worldview of creation care. Can I change slides? Okay, I've got two portions of scripture, Genesis and Romans. If we can read Genesis together as well as Romans. But before you read the two portions of scripture, for Genesis, consider what is God's mandate to man when he created the world. So it's to read this mindfully. And in Romans, look at what the state of creation today and what it is longing for. So read both passages of scripture mindfully. Can I invite you to stand, please? Ready? One, two, go. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and every living creature that moves on the ground." Okay, Romans. One to go. "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies." Please be seated. Thank you. Right. Now, there's a lot of emphasis on environment and climate change, and this has grown in massive traction. It is what I call today's flavor of the month. It is the agenda item on both the political stage as well as policies. Now, you probably heard of this thing called the Paris Climate Agreement, which at the long and short of it is about 180, 190 countries, including Malaysia, have signed on to this agreement to say that by 2050, it will be net zero emissions. What it basically means is our carbon output, and what we're doing to reduce that carbon output is net zero. And you've also probably heard, now this is the language in the corporate world today. Sustainability. You have sustainable packaging, sustainable transportation, sustainable homes, sustainable living, sustainable finance. ESG, environmental, social, and governance. Carbon neutrality, decarbonization, this whole thing about reducing our carbon footprint, reducing greenhouse gas emissions, and net zero. Now, do you know where the money is today? World Economic Forum says that the money today, $10 trillion, sits in sustainable business opportunities. You want to know how to grow your business? Sustainability. There are now sustainable departments and CSOs, Chief Sustainability Officers. Now, why is this? Now, the cause is very appealing because it hits man's conscience. And it is a cause bigger than oneself. That's why the drive and the appeal to sustainability and all things green is very appealing. Case in point. So my sister brought this candy back from London and sustainable marketing. It says here, I am carbon neutral. So you're going to see more of these labels on your packaging. And the irony of it is by the time she flew from London to Malaysia, it's no longer carbon neutral. So with all this jargon, all this emphasis on sustainability, how do we as believers make sense of it? How can we move from the circular worldview of environmentalism to a biblical worldview of creation care? Now, this is the premise where we begin, is we see the whole creation infused with the presence of God. We care for creation precisely because God's presence fills creation, and God has made this world his dwelling place. His dwelling place and the dwelling place for all his people created in his image. So what is creation care, what it is and what it isn't? Very quickly. Firstly, it is not grounded on the fear of ecological destruction. So creation care is not driven by fear or end-time hysteria. Secondly, it is not about deifying creation. So it's not about making elements of creation. We're not worshipping the mountains, the trees, the seas, or the rivers. It's not deifying creation. It is not having a romanticized view of nature. And it's certainly not about riding on political correctness. What then is creation care? For us as believers, it is shaped by this great redemptive narrative of creation, fall, redemption, and consummation. This is your entire biblical narrative from Genesis to Revelation. I'll talk about this a bit more later. It is more than just ecological stewardship. It's more than just caring or being stewards of the environment, more than just ecology. It is about loving your neighbor because creation care involves the apex of creation, and that is man. And that is different from environmentalism because creation care includes you and me. The third thing is that it denounces and rejects three things: environmental destruction, wastefulness, and greed. And finally, our hope is not in technological advances and neither is it in politicians and thank God, but our hope is in our God who is creator and redeemer. My big idea for today is our care of creation reflects our love for our Creator. So why should we care for creation? Because we see creation, and this is the three points of my sermon today, we see creation as a gospel issue, as a compassion issue, and as a church issue. Now, for some of you, you've probably heard of this thing called the Lausanne Movement. And the Lausanne Movement was started by Billy Graham and John Stott. So what they did was they pulled all the evangelical churches together with this one message, which is the whole church taking the whole gospel to the whole world. And in Cape Town, where the third Lausanne Movement met in 2010, they came out with this statement, which is creation care is a gospel issue within the Lordship of Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is Lord of the earth, then we have a responsibility to include creation care. Creation care is not a replacement for the gospel, but it is a response to the gospel.
For those of you who have not heard the gospel for a very long time or wonder what is the gospel is typically and usually framed as this, using this narrative of God, man, Christ, and our response. So God is the creator of all things, God is perfectly holy, worthy of all worship, and he will punish sin. Man, although created good, are all sinful by nature. From birth, people are alienated from God, hostile to God, and subjected to the wrath of God. Christ, fully God, fully man, lived a sinless life, died on the cross to bear God's wrath, and in the place of all who believe in him, rose from the dead to give us all eternal life. And the response is that God calls people everywhere to repent of their sins and to put their faith in Christ. So this is the good news. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ that we preach and that is the motivation for our being and our living. But that's not the end of it. That's not the end of the story. We must remember that this is a cosmic gospel. So riding on the coattails of the salvation of man and sinners, and because death and sin and Satan has been defeated, everything, including this earth, will be reconciled under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And this then is the great redemptive narrative of creation, fall, redemption, and consummation. God created the whole world and everything in it. Man, his image bearer, as we read just now, are called to fill, subdue, and work the earth. At the fall, Adam and Eve's sin affected everything, first with creation itself, human beings' relationship with creation, with one another, and with God. At redemption, Jesus Christ, God the Son incarnate, he inaugurates the kingdom of God. He brings forth the kingdom of God in his first coming, and he shows us what the kingdom of God looks like. And for those of us who are his followers, we live according to the values of his kingdom. And finally, at the consummation, there will be the new heaven and new earth. Jesus Christ accomplishes God's original purpose for creation. He reverses Adam's curse and provides his people with a place to dwell with God for all eternity. This is one gospel, not two. One gospel, two vantage points. And we need both of them so that we're not reductionistic in how we define what God is doing both in our hearts and in the universe. The fall of man broke man's relationship four ways. Firstly, there's that enmity with God. There is that enmity with self. We're totally depraved. Our psyche, our thinking, our being, our emotions, our bodies, everything is broken. We have enmity with others. And we forgot one more thing. There's enmity with creation. And this is what God said. Cursed is the ground because of you. It will produce for you thorns and thistles for you. But Jesus' redemptive work brings reconciliation. Many times we think it's just vertical and horizontal. But let me bring two more to you. Jesus' work on the cross reconciles us to God, reconciles us with ourselves. That's why we have that shalom. That's why we are healed from our brokenness. We are healed from our depravity. And this is what we call sanctification. With God is salvation. Reconciliation with ourselves is sanctification. There's reconciliation with one another. We can live with one another, those of us who are in Christ, because we are one in him. And finally, and we keep forgetting this, there is reconciliation with creation. Because in Colossians, all things are reconciled to Christ. Whether things on earth or in heaven, all things are reconciled to him by the blood of his cross. This is what Tim Keller says. Let me just read it to you. When we look at the whole scope of this storyline, we see clearly that Christianity is not just about getting one's individual sins forgiven so that we can go to heaven. That is a more important means of God of salvation, but not the final end or purpose of it. The purpose of Jesus' coming is to put the whole world right, to renew and restore creation and not to escape it. It is not just to bring personal forgiveness and peace, but also justice and shalom to the world. The work of the Spirit of God is not only to save souls, but also to care and cultivate the face of the earth, this material world. Then you ask me, but then this whole earth will be destroyed, right? Okay, 2 points of view. Just suspend that thought a little bit, okay? There is one theological view where this whole earth will be wiped out, thrown away. It's like an atomic implosion. No more. But there is another theological view where this earth is still here, but it is renewed. When Peter said the heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by a fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. The take of this is that this is not a fire of destruction, but a fire of purification. It is going to purify this earth and the sin and the dross and all the imperfections of this world will be purified by this fire. In Romans, as we read just now, creation itself will be set free from the bondage of decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So creation is not destroyed in this decay and lost in this decay, but it is just set free. Set free from this decay and given and glorified as how the children of God will be glorified. Finally, Revelation. John says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Former heaven, former earth have passed away and no longer existed any sea." The word new is kainos and not neo. Neo means brand new. My brand new car, my brand new phone. But this kainos means renewed. And this is the same word that Paul called you and me when we are followers of Christ. The old has gone, the new. You are a new creation in Christ. You are a kainos creation in Christ. So there's this mystery between continuity and discontinuity, just like our bodies. A discontinuity and a continuity, just like Jesus' body. Scars, but a glorified body. So what is my point? This is my point. The earth is going to be here forever, and God cares about it. Again, I hold it to you, the two theological views, whether you think it is completely destroyed or whether this earth will be renewed. My big idea again is our care of creation reflects our love for our Creator. Secondly, creation care is a compassion issue. Now, we cannot, that's why I say creation care is more than just the ecology. It involves man, the apex of creation. And creation care and loving our neighbor are both inseparable. Now, there are different ways we can love our neighbor, but let me show you one way. Out of the 613 commandments in the Old Testament, one of it, God says, is this. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord your God. So how does creation... Now, this is where creation care is different from just pure environmentalism. Firstly, it recognizes that creation needs rest. It observes the fourth commandment to honor the Sabbath. Somewhere, I think, in the Old Testament, God also calls for the land to rest, right? Once every 7 years. But here, it is about rest. So it's no point going all green and being all activists. Hear me and hear me well. If your domestic helpers at home are not given rest. If you're working your domestic helpers to the bone. If you're working your team to the bone. Because that's not caring for creation. Secondly, it stewards creation's welfare and the resources responsibly. Now, it recognizes that these are more than enough for man's needs, but it's not enough for man's greed. Thirdly, it adopts a balanced, simplified lifestyle that exercises self-restraint so that others can have the basic amenities too. This is something you've heard of again and again from here. To live simply so that others can simply live. It is not engaging in excessive, irresponsible waste disposal, thoughtless packaging, mindless consumerism. So how is creation care different from environmentalism? Three S's. Sabbath rest. Stewardship. Simplicity. You probably know, going back about how we don't endanger our neighbor's life. In the last 2.5 years, we've had 10 unscheduled water cuts in the Klang Valley. 7 in 2020, 2 in 2021, and 1 this year. And you know what these unscheduled water cuts are about? It's not about burst pipes. Pollution. Some irresponsible acts of dumping waste into our rivers. And how many million people were affected? And you know what happens if we drink that kind of water? Doesn't that endanger our lives? So my point is, creation care is about also not endangering your neighbor's life. In your own neighborhood, how you trash your trash. Do it responsibly. How you trash your batteries. Do it responsibly so that it does not endanger your neighbor's life. How is this loving to our neighbor? This is not a child mucking around and being silly. This is a child in survival mode. Our care of creation reflects our love for our Creator. Finally, creation care is a church issue. Now, John Stott says this, "It is quite inexplicable to me that there are some Christians who claim to love God and worship God, to be disciples of Jesus, And yet, they have no concern for the earth that bears the stamp of his stamp of ownership. They do not care about the abuse of the earth. And indeed, by listen to this, their wasteful, overconsumptive lifestyles, they contribute to it. Keywords, abuse, wasteful, overconsumptive. So what should and can the church do? Now, these are some practical ways that the church, when I say church with a capital C and a small c, because collectively we can do more together, right? So some practical ways, this comes from the Wesleyan Church in the U.S. and John Stott himself. So, for example, I'm just going to pick out a few here. Purchase necessities from companies with ethically sound environmental policies. Commit to a more simplified lifestyle. Now, I'm going to pause here to say this. Living a simplified lifestyle or exercising more self-restraint, it is a matter of conscience. It is a matter of liberty, and that's up to our own conscience. So I guess where I'm coming from is don't have to guilt trip anybody to live a more simplified lifestyle. I picked this up from the internet. Lots of ways we can all reduce carbon footprint. You probably hear it over the radio as well, so I'm not going to go through them. That's my big idea. And now I'm going to pull it together at the end of my sermon. As I said just now, church, let's not use... some of us are very passionate about going green and being environmentally friendly. And there's some of us on this other side that are a bit ignorant and need to be brought into to be more aware. And all I ask is, let's not put unnecessary guilt in our passion and in our passion for this drive and this cause. No need to police each other. No need to finger point at each other and put that yoke that is so crushing on one another. But let's encourage one another in a healthy, life-giving way. Yeah? Our motivation to care for creation operates from a much bigger frame. We have a biblical worldview. We are stewards of God's creation, and we are ambassadors of reconciliation. And let me exhort you to lift up your eyes to this final truth. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, the earth, and everything in it. Let's pray. Our great and almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, Father, we thank you for reminding us that this gospel of salvation is also a cosmic gospel, that one day all things will be reconciled in Christ, whether on earth or in heaven, because Christ has made peace by the blood of his cross. Father, we pray, may you confound us again and again by the size and the weight of the gospel, the eternity-spanning wonderment of the finished work of Christ. Father, may you help us to see how loving our neighbor and creation care are inseparable. And Lord, we ask, may you grant your church the wisdom to be light in the practical outworkings of creation care. Amen.